Yesterday, the cops grab a guy off a bike and smash his face into the pavement, and he was not resisting. He repeatedly said, "I'm not resisting," as they twisted his arms behind his back. And that wasn't enough. They had to stand on his head as well and then force the spout of a pepper spray can into his eye and nose and mouth. You should have been there to watch it. It was fascism in action.
If one fictional figure can be said to
incite protesters,
it was the cop. Fucking police everywhere you turned, worse than real life. What an incredible bore. Class traitor. For that masochist thrill, we got wicked, bent cops who threaten to topple our cozy consensus reality from within like Giger-designed tapeworms.
There's not a lot of reason to trust these people.
To harbor an unnatural hatred and deep distrust of all law officers.
The only thing that we can put faith in is continuing our own direct actions. In town, up on the hill. We gotta keep that up. We gotta keep the pressure on.
We've been obsessed with cops since the beginning, bumbling fools into squash and deflate.
You are in a position of imminent arrest.
But in the ideal drama, the little man who once scattered blue bottles by the hundred with that anarchist's bomb, innocently used to light a cigarette, a tramp, a victim with the sudden power of the pure heart, no longer has a place at the center of narrative. Once we were that hobo, that quasi-surrealist chaos hero who wins through Wu Wei over the ludicrous minions of a despised and irrelevant order. But now we are reduced to the status of victims without power, or else criminals. We no longer occupy that central role. No longer the heroes of our own stories, we've been marginalized and replaced by the other, the cop.
Eugene, Oregon, long a nexus of progressive activity in the Pacific Northwest, has in recent years experienced an escalation in the tone of political protests.
Humboldt County Sheriff's deputies have used pepper spray again to break up a protest by Earth First, just weeks before a fresh federal trial is due over a previous police use of pepper spray.
Officers methodically swabbing the chemical on nonviolent demonstrators.
This news from California police twice this week dubbed pepper spray around the eyes of environmental protesters who refused to unlock themselves from logging equipment while trying to stop logging in California's redwood forest.
While relatively tame sign-carrying, slogan-chanting events still occur, it is increasingly common for demonstrations to result in property damage and clashes with police. The local political landscape has been rocked by high-profile conflicts such as occurred on June 1, 1997, when several protesters defending downtown trees were literally saturated with pepper spray.
This is Sergeant Tom Turner of the Indian Police Department. You're ordered to get down from the tree and vacate the area. If you refuse to comply with my order to disperse, you're subject to arrest.
The sound you just heard was the sound of a tear gas fired by a police officer in an attempt to thwart this unruly demonstration.
I would say upwards of 30 cans of mace on individuals in trees that were then incapacitated from moving, yet were continued to be assaulted.
While there had been serious clashes previously, June 1st proved to be a turning point, convincing many here that more radical actions were justified. The subsequent year and a half has seen the emergence of black blocs, groups of people who wear similar clothing, gas masks and such, attending protests prepared to confront police and vent their rage on capitalist establishments.
Eugene police officials say
destroy the merchandise, terrorize the patrons.
There's also been a surge in night actions against businesses perceived to be spearheading gentrification in low-income neighborhoods. Actions ranging from urban anti-corporate activities to forest defense have prompted discourse among activists in Eugene on the nature and definition of nonviolence and the place of property destruction in the struggle. The recent arson of a ski resort complex in Vail, Colorado, has heightened the intensity of the debate. The government and media have suggested connections between the fire at Vail and events closer to home, such as the arson of a ranger station near Oak Ridge, Oregon, in 1996. A Eugene action against sweatshop shoemaker Nike on October 17th was denounced by the Campaign for Labor Rights after corporate property was damaged. The prospect of possible factionalism and splits in the movement has opened up new discussion on tactics and strategy and how to best create positive social change.
Victim, criminal, and police person. But the first two fail to be fully human. Only the pig is real. Shit, even cops complained about their rights being abused. I've heard that 1 out of 4 households in America is robbed every year, and that every year nearly 500,000 of us are arrested just for smoking pot. In the face of such statistics, even assuming they're damned lies, one wonders who is not either victim or criminal in our police state of consciousness. The fuzz must mediate for all of us, however fuzzy the interface. They're our only warrior priests, however profane. Hitherto merely a media fantasy of middle-class resentment and revenge. Naturally, the true-life cop hates no one so much as the vigilante. Look what happens to poor and/or non-white neighborhood self-protection groups, like the Muslims who tried to eliminate crack dealing in Brooklyn. The cops busted the Muslims. The pushers went free. Real vigilantes threaten the monopoly of enforcement, lèse majesté, more abominable than incest or murder. But mediated vigilantes function perfectly within the cop state.
And that was a deal we made, and now we've got a problem.
In fact, it would be more accurate to think of them as unpaid, not even a set of matched luggage, unpaid informers, telemetric snitches, electro-stoolies, rat finks for a day.
Now, let me set the stage for you. When you're being debriefed by the federal government to the uses of informants, you're not going to go in there and tell crazy-sounding stories, because they're not going to believe they're going to slap you in jail, right?
What is it that America most wants? Does this phrase refer to criminals or to crimes? To objects of desire in their real presence, unrepresented, unmediated, literally stolen and appropriated?
Eugene police officials say
destroy the merchandise, terrorize the patrons.
Corporate greed, call for violence.
Panic.
Corporate greed.
These panic groups and their
corporate greed
activities should be cause for
call for violence.
Concern and panic.
It's time to smash things up.
America most wants to fuck off work, ditch the spouse, do drugs, because only drugs make you feel as good as the people in TV ads appear to be. Have sex with nubile jailbait, sodomy, burglary, hell yes. What unmediated pleasures are not illegal? Even outdoor barbecues violate smoke ordinances nowadays. The simplest enjoyments turn us against some law. Finally, pleasure becomes too stress-inducing, and only TV remains. And the pleasure of revenge, vicarious betrayal, the sick thrill of the tattletale. America can't have what it most wants, so it has America's most wanted instead. A nation of schoolyard toadies, sucking up to an elite of schoolyard bullies. The media cops, like televangelical forerunners, prepare us for the advent, final coming, or rapture of the police state.
A curfew has been imposed. No person shall be on the public streets or other public places between dusk to dawn. Furthermore, no person shall sell, furnish, or otherwise provide to another person any weapons, ammunition, or gasoline.
Obscene simulacrum. Meaningless, violent spasms elevated to the last principle of governance.
Humboldt County Sheriff's deputies
image
have
of a country consumed by images of self-hatred, war between
activists.
The schizoid halves of a split personality, superego versus the id kid for the heavyweight championship of an abandoned landscape, burnt, polluted, empty, desolate, unreal. The image
yesterday,
of the inspector
police decided
or
to move in on a sit-in. They arrested 5 yesterday and 10 today. And as you mentioned, for the first time in a year, they used pepper spray.
Of authority, our perversity, our helplessness. Whether we imagine them as good or evil, our obsessive invocation of the eidolons of the cops reveals the extent to which we have accepted the Manichaean worldview they symbolize. Millions of tiny cops swarm everywhere, like the clip-off, larval hungry ghosts.
The point that I'm trying to make is that it takes far more courage to use these so-called violent property destroying means. This is why we've chosen our path. Because a bottle leaving your hand headed for a cop feels good. Because the sound of breaking glass is music. And because reform is too slow and strenuous.
Do not fault the protesters for their anger. When all other means have been exhausted and no one listens and no one cares, frustration and rage are inevitable.
Who will make this peaceful revolution impossible will make a violent revolution inevitable.
To me, the word violence is exclusively reserved for living things. I don't think you can do violence to sticks and stones. I think you can do violence to people or to animals or to trees.
We propose an esoteric hermeneutical exegesis of the surrealist slogan, mort aux vaches. We take it to refer not to the deaths of individual cops,
shot on sight,
mere leftist revenge fantasy, petty reverse sadism, but rather to the death of the image of the fleek, the inner control and its myriad reflections in the no-place place of the media, the gray room, as Burroughs calls it. Self-censorship, fear of one's own desires, conscience as the interiorized voice of consensus authority. To assassinate these security forces would indeed release floods of libidinal energy, but not the violent running amok predicted by the theory of law and order. Nietzschean self-overcoming provides the principle of organization for the free spirit, as also for anarchist society, at least in theory. In the police state personality, libidinal energy is dammed and diverted towards self-repression. Any threat to control results in spasms of violence. In the free spirit personality, energy flows unimpeded and therefore turbulently but gently. Its chaos finds its strange attractor, allowing new spontaneous orders to emerge.
Cascadia!
In this sense, we call for a boycott of the image of the cop and a moratorium on its production in art. In this sense, mort aux vaches.
Hereby declared liberated territory. 98.5 megahertz is reclaimed daily in this area in blatant defiance of the federal corporate media monopoly. Radio Free Cascadia strives to give access to a broad diversity of voices and ideas unrepresented in the processed, pasteurized propaganda puree of commodified corporate cynicism which passes as a broadcast system in this country. Radio Free Cascadia condones no violence against living beings or ecosystems. You are witnessing an act of authentic radio resistance by a community of people demanding access to effective media for the exercise of free speech. Radio Free Cascadia, a temporary autonomous zone of the air.
Down here, no corporate radio.
The clandestine radio stations are the voices of the revolution.
You are witnessing an act of authentic radio resistance by a community of people demanding access to effective media for the exercise of free speech.